This evening we're continuing our examination of the names of God, which we find sprinkled all throughout the Scriptures. And by way of review, I'll remind you that we began this series by exploring five names which begin with the Hebrew word El. Throughout those studies, we learned that the name Elohim explicitly points us to the plural nature of God, while at the same time implicitly pointing us to his triune nature, which is revealed throughout the rest of Scripture. Then we learn that the names El Shaddai and El Gibor, they both point us to the all-powerful nature of God. After that, we discover that the name El Olam points us to the everlasting provision and protection of God. And finally, we learn that the name El Elyon reveals the exalted state of our Supreme King. Now, then, after wrapping up our examination of the five names, beginning with that Hebrew word El, we then turned our attention to God's proper name, which is translated from the consonants YHWH. During that study, we learned that this name, which has been rendered Yahweh by some scholars and Jehovah by other scholars, this name was designed to reveal the infinite nature of God's existence. Not only that, but we also learned this name. It's the foundation of several compound names, each of which help us to more fully understand the character and the nature of God. For example, we began to study those compound names about 5 weeks ago, and we examined the name Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord our provider. Then we explored the meaning of the name Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord our healer. After that, we examined the meaning of the name Jehovah Nisi, which means the Lord our banner. Then we saw how the Lord referred to himself as Jehovah Emkadesh, which means the Lord who sanctifies. After that, we learned about a man named Gideon, who then referred to the Lord as Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord our peace. And then in our study last week, we found the Lord referring to himself as Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means the Lord our righteousness. Now, here in our study tonight, we're going to look at the next compound name on our list, which is found in the book of Psalms. And so if you would, let's open our Bibles to the 23rd Psalm, where we find David. He's now referring to the Lord as Jehovah Rohi. As you make your way to Psalms chapter 23, well, I want to set the stage for our text tonight by first reminding you that this was a song written by King David. But it's important for us to remember here that King David wasn't born the son of a king. He wasn't born a prince with a silver spoon in his mouth. No, he was born the son of a shepherd. He himself also grew up, not in a king's palace, but in a pasture, tending his father's sheep. That's interesting because here in the lyrics of this song, we find King David later on in life, he's now comparing the Lord to a loving shepherd. With this background in mind, let's take a look at this famous song. If you would look with me there at the 23rd Psalm, beginning at verse 1, there David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, here in this song, we find David, he's comparing the Lord to a loving shepherd who is caring for his sheep. And there in the beginning of this psalm, we find the compound name Jehovah Rohi. As a matter of fact, if you would look again there at verse 1, there David declares, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, I'll remind you that whenever we see the word Lord in all caps, it's there to inform us that the proper name of God is actually found in the original text. In the original Hebrew, you would have found those four consonants, YHWH, which is the proper name of God. And here in our text today, well, King David is tying the proper name of God to the Hebrew word Rohi, which was used to refer to a shepherd who was caring for their flock. Then throughout the rest of this song, we see King David, he's going on to describe several ways that Jehovah Rohi cares for his sheep like a loving shepherd. But this is our focus. I want to take a closer look at these descriptions. And so if you would look with me again, beginning there at verse 1, there David declares, "The Lord is my shepherd," or he says, "Jehovah Rohi, I shall not want." Now, I'd like to just stop right there, because here in this singular verse, David has stated something that we could actually explore for the rest of the night. I mean, we could just turn this into a year-long study as far as I'm concerned. There's so much here in this simple statement. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I like the way that the scholars of the New Living Translation rendered this verse, because they put it like this: the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Christian, listen, if you're truly following the shepherd of your soul, then you can also trust that he's going to meet all of your needs. And I've heard other leaders and other churches talk about the needs of the church, and we need this and we need that. And, you know, I kind of, in studying through this verse several years ago, I was brought to the conclusion that if the Lord truly is our shepherd, then we shouldn't be operating based on this concept of needs. If the Lord is truly our shepherd, then we should have no wants. Therefore, any wants or anything lacking that we think the Lord hasn't supplied, it must be something that the Lord wasn't intending to give us in the first place, therefore we shouldn't want it anyway. I truly believe that the Lord will supply for all of our needs according to His will. Therefore, if the Lord is your shepherd, there's nothing that we ought to want besides whatever He wants for us. If we need anything as Christians, well, we just simply need to submit to the Lord as our shepherd. As a matter of fact, this is exactly what David goes on to describe here in the lyrics of this song. If you would look with me, beginning there at verse 2, because there David goes on to write here, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Here in this verse, David is describing Jehovah Rohi as this good shepherd who not only leads his sheep to the plush pastures where there's plenty to eat, but he also leads his sheep to the still waters where it's safe to drink and be refreshed. It's the bad shepherd that leads his sheep where the river is flowing and can drag the sheep in and carry them off and drown them. The Lord is the good shepherd. He takes us to where the grass is green. He takes us to where the waters are still so that it's a safe place to be refreshed. And not only will the Lord meet all of our physical needs in that he's talking about food and drink, but he's also wanting to minister to the needs of our immaterial man, the spirit and the soul that we have. In order to explain what I mean, if you would look with me there at verse 3, there David declares, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Here in this verse, David is helping us to understand that the Lord is not only a shepherd who wants to care for the physical needs of food and water, but he's also a shepherd who's able to restore the soul of the person who is basically given up. There's some times where we need our soul to be ministered to because we've just kind of given up on life. It reminds me of when I first started trusting in the Lord. Just prior to my salvation, I was just kind of done with life. I just had this real been there, done that kind of attitude. And I'm not suggesting I was suicidal. I wasn't suicidal, but you know, I just really didn't care if I lived another day. I was just kind of tired of life. I just kind of thought, you know, I've seen it, I've done it, I'm done. But then when I placed my life into the hands of Jehovah Rohi, when I allowed Him to become my shepherd, He restored my soul. My soul that was so exhausted with life and just so done with living, He restored my soul and gave me desire and gave me purpose. He strengthened my inner man and He gave me reason to continue desiring to live, but to live for Him. Not only that, but He also renewed my spirit. My spirit was dead in trespasses and sins, and He renewed my spirit and He empowered me to walk on those narrow paths of righteousness that He's placed before me. He's come along and restored my soul and renewed my spirit so that my life might bring glory to His name, and He'll do the same for you. The Lord is the shepherd who wants to come and meet our physical needs, but also wants to come and meet our spiritual needs. He wants to meet all of our needs because He's a good shepherd. Furthermore, Jehovah Rohi, He's able to lead us through every tough trial that we find ourselves in the middle of. And with this in mind, look with me there at verse 4, because there David declares, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here in this verse, David is helping us to remember that Jehovah Rohi is always there with his sheep. Even when we find ourselves on that darkest day, traveling through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, you're here with me. It's not like in the tough times the Lord is like, well, good luck with all that and I'll see you on the other side. No, no. The Lord is here with us. He'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. Though there are times we might even step off that path of righteousness, we still don't need to fear the evil that's seeking to destroy us there in that dark place. If you've placed your faith in the Lord and you've allowed the Lord to become your shepherd, there's going to be those seasons where we're just kind of like not completely walking in step with him, and yet he's right there for us the minute we cry out and repent. He's right there to restore us. He's right there to bring us back the minute we turn back to him. We've been told to draw near to him and he'll draw near to us. And that's the kind of shepherd that we have. And here we find David, he's taking great comfort in the fact that Jehovah Rohi, he's the kind of shepherd who has a rod in one hand and a staff in the other. Now, it's interesting to note here that the shepherd's rod, it was usually a short club which was used to fight off wild beasts. And so that rod, it speaks of protection for the sheep. And knowing that the Lord is a protective shepherd, well, David found great comfort in knowing that Jehovah Rohi, he had that rod, and he was ready to defend his sheep. He also took great comfort in knowing that Jehovah Rohi had a staff. And it'll help us to know that that staff, well, it's a slender pole that has a crook at the end of it, and the shepherd would use that curved pole to guide his wandering sheep. Sometimes he would take that hook and drag a sheep away from a cliff or the sheep needed to be prodded on or whatever it was. The staff was used for the guidance and for the direction of the sheep. Therefore, David, he took great comfort in the protective rod and in the instructive staff of the Lord. Not only that, but David also was thrilled over the fact that he didn't have to worry about the attacks of the enemy. Because not only is the Lord the shepherd who has the rod in hand and he's ready to defend us, but it goes further than that. With this in mind, if you would look with me there at verse 5, because there David declares, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Now I love this verse because David could seem to be here shifting metaphors from the Lord as a shepherd to the Lord as a host of a lavish meal, but I'd like to continue thinking about this text in light of the Lord being a shepherd. If David was intending to maintain the metaphor as being the Lord being a good shepherd here, it seems to me then he's suggesting that the Lord has a plan to upset the meal plans of our enemy. Think about it like this. The most common enemy of the sheep is the wolf. And the wolf has dinner plans. The wolf wants to come into the flock and devour, make a meal of, if you will, the sheep. That being the case, David's here, he seems to be assuring us that Jehovah Rohi will not only disappoint the meal plan of the wolf, but he's also going to feed the sheep in the presence of the wolf. He's saying, hey, the Lord prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy. The wolf that wants to eat me is going to watch me enjoy a nice meal. And he's not going to be able to do anything. That's the kind of shepherd we have. The Lord is going to make us have a cup that's overflowing. He's going to anoint our head with oil like a good host. And all the while, the wolf will look on and won't be able to do anything about it. Finally, David helps us to see that the Lord's sheep can always count on the Lord to take care of us. In order to prove my point, look with me there at verse 6, because there David writes, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here in the final verse of this chapter, David reveals his certainty. He is 100% certain that he would forever be the recipient of the Lord's goodness and the Lord's mercy. As a matter of fact, the word follow here in this verse, it could also be translated pursue. It's for this reason that the scholars who created the New Living Translation, they render the verse like this, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. One Bible commentary compared goodness and mercy to sheepdogs. Sheepdogs who have been turned loose to help guard the flock. So mercy and goodness, they're pursuing us. They're keeping us together. They're keeping us close to the Lord. Based on this, we can see then how the sheep of the Lord's pasture were going to be pursued by what we could call the beautiful goodness and the gracious love of God. The beautiful goodness of God will always be pursuing us. The gracious love of God will always be pursuing us. And as we find ourselves maybe inching away or wandering away from the goodness and the grace of God, the goodness and the grace of God pursue us. And that's good news. Then when our life ends here in this world, well, the sheep of the Lord will continue to be pursued by the Lord's goodness and mercy forever and ever as we dwell in the house of the Lord for the rest of eternity. And that's even better news. To know that God's goodness and God's mercy will continue to pursue us forever and forever. Praise the Lord. Now, as we summarize everything that we've studied so far in this chapter, we've learned here that Jehovah Rophi is this loving, he's this loving shepherd who's going to meet all of our needs, regardless of whether it's a material need or an immaterial need. And we've seen how the Lord is this faithful shepherd who stays by our side even on our darkest days. The Lord is this protective shepherd who has a corrective rod in one hand and he has the instructive staff in the other hand. He's the shepherd who keeps the enemy from destroying his sheep. And he's the shepherd who pursues his sheep with everlasting goodness and mercy. Without debate, Jehovah Rohi is the good shepherd who takes care of his sheep. And while David's description presents us here with this poetic picture of the Lord's pastoral heart towards his sheep, I believe that an even better picture, an even better presentation of the Lord as our shepherd is found in Jesus Christ. Now, with this as our focus, let's turn over to John chapter 10, because it's in John 10 where we find the Lord Jesus. He's now presenting himself as the good shepherd. Here in this chapter, it's as if he's looking back at Psalm 23 and saying, hey, I'm that shepherd. And here in our text, John chapter 10, we find our Savior helping us to understand the relationship that can be had between the good shepherd and his sheep. But this is our focus. If you would look with me there at John chapter 10, I want to begin reading at verse 1 because there Jesus declares, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, this reminds me of a trip to Morocco, and that we saw a shepherd out with his sheep, and so we pulled over, and we wanted to kind of get a picture of him with his flock, and we got a little closer, and the sheep just kind of started backing up behind him, and you could just tell that they were very timid around us. But the minute he called them and led them, they would just follow him. They didn't know my voice, but they knew his voice, and they were completely comfortable as long as he was there in front of them and guarding them from us. And here we find the Lord talking about shepherds in this way of having sheep that know his voice and feel that comfort of being around their shepherd. The Lord is speaking in this text, he's speaking actually to a group of religious leaders and trying to help them to understand the parallel between a good shepherd and him, being the good shepherd of the sheep. He talked to them about the door of the sheepfold as well as the thieves who were attempting to climb up over the wall and steal the sheep. Unfortunately, these Pharisees, they failed to grasp what Jesus was trying to tell them. And thankfully for us, Jesus took the time to explain exactly what he meant. As a matter of fact, if you would look with me beginning at verse 6, there John writes, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Let's just put it as plainly and simply as possible. I'm the door. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, here in these verses, we find Jesus helping these religious leaders to understand that he is the door through which a person is able to enter into the Lord's sheepfold and find salvation. And not only that, but the Lord is also assuring them here that he's the only door. He's not saying, I am one of the doors into God's sheepfold. There's a few others, but, you know, I'm viable. I'm okay. Nope, he didn't say that. He's saying, I am the door. And anybody that tries to go in any other way, they're a thief, and they're a liar, and they're a robber. Jesus is the only door into the pasture of God's kingdom. Then Jesus takes it one step further by insisting that he's not only the door into the pasture, but he is the good shepherd who watches over the sheep. With this in mind, look with me beginning there at verse 11, because there Jesus declares, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. Now, here in these verses, we find the Lord describing himself as the good shepherd who is watching over his sheep. And what this means, then, is that Jesus is actually the physical incarnation of Jehovah Rohi. Therefore, Jesus is the loving shepherd who meets all of our needs. Jesus is the faithful shepherd who stays by our side even on our darkest day. Jesus is the protective shepherd who defends us with that corrective rod and instructs us with his staff. Jesus is the shepherd who keeps the enemy from destroying his sheep, and he's the shepherd who pursues his sheep with everlasting goodness and mercy. Jesus is Jehovah Rohi incarnate. Finally, here in John 10, we learn that Jesus, he presents us with one more aspect of him being this good shepherd. He tells us here in John 10 that he is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. And with this in mind, notice again there at verse 11. There Jesus declares, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Here in this verse, we find Jesus revealing the most important truth about Jehovah Rohi. And the most important truth about the Lord our shepherd is that he was willing to lay down his life for the sheep so that we could enter into his perfect pasture. And listen, not only was he willing, but he did. He laid down his life when he died upon the cross. And he died upon the cross just so sinners like us could be saved from the everlasting punishment that we deserve. And instead of receiving that punishment that we deserve, he's enabled us to walk through the door of salvation so that we can graze in the perfect pasture land of God's kingdom. Now, in light of this truth, I'd like to begin our conclusion of this study with a few questions. You see, I think it's important for us to ask, am I one of his sheep? Am I one of his sheep? In other words, have you entered into the perfect pastures of God through the door of salvation that Jesus opened when he suffered and died for our sins? And if you're saying, yeah, I'm a sheep, yeah, I'm in the pasture, then I'll ask you this. Is your soul being refreshed as you allow Jehovah Rohi to lead you beside still waters? Or are you still hanging out where the waters are rough and possibly going to suck you downstream and drown you? Are you leading yourself into the valley of the shadow of death? Or are you following the good shepherd on paths of righteousness? Are you listening to the voice of the good shepherd as he leads you down those perfect paths? Or are you still listening to the lies of a hireling who is only here to rip you off? Now, in light of these questions, I implore you to examine the course of your life because, listen, there are so many people in the 21st century church who are actually missing out on the abundant life that the Lord came to give us. Remember, he came to give us an abundant life. And there's so many Christians missing out on this abundant life simply because they're caught up listening to the false teachings of a hireling. They're caught up following after the false teachings of a hireling who's only here to make merchandise of us. And knowing that the church is now filled with wolves who are dressed in sheep's clothing, they're coming in with a form of godliness, but all the while denying the power of God, it's crucial that every Christian learn how to recognize the voice of our shepherd so that we can tell when it's the Lord speaking through a person and when it's something else altogether. In order to elaborate on this point, if you would turn with me to Acts chapter 20, you see, it's in Acts 20 where we find Paul. He's actually pleading with the leaders of the church in Ephesus that they keep vigilant. He's saying, hey, keep a vigilant watch over your church. Keep a vigilant watch over the people in your church. And here in this text, we find Paul, he's actually challenging these leaders to recognize their role as sub-shepherds. He's encouraging them to recognize that it was their job to help protect the flock by presenting the words of the shepherd to the people in their flock. But this is our focus. If you would look with me there at Acts chapter 20, I want to begin reading at verse 26. There Paul declares, "I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." He's saying, hey, I've given you all the words that the shepherd has given me to say. I've taught you everything that you need to know from the Scriptures. Therefore, verse 28, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. He's passing the leadership mantle on to these leaders. He's saying, hey, you need to take heed. You need to be vigilant to care for the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. For 3 years, Paul had this message that there were going to be false teachers coming from without and rising up from within the church. Wolves who would come in and not care about the flock of God. You see, they don't value the flock of God. They don't see that this is a flock that our shepherd has purchased with the shedding of His blood. No, they're just here to pull away people, to make disciples after themselves, and to make merchandise of those who are willing to support their ministry. So Paul's encouraging these leaders at the church there in Ephesus to recognize their spiritual responsibility to help shepherd the Lord's flock. They were called to become overseers of the flock of God. The reason why is because, according to Paul, there's going to be these wolves who come in, and he talks later about them being wolves in sheep's clothing. They're going to creep into the church. They're going to attempt to deceive the Lord's sheep and lead them astray. Not only that, but Paul also tells us that there's going to be those who rise up within the ranks of the church. In other words, there's going to be Christians who end up being deceived by these deceivers, and then they're going to start regurgitating this heresy. That being the case, it's so crucial, Christian, that we learn how to discern between the false teachers and the true leaders who have been called to serve Jehovah Rohi as sub-shepherds or overseers. So how do we? How do we differentiate between the voice of the liar and the voice of the shepherd? Well, the answer is very simple. The answer is by knowing the Word of God. If you know the Word of God, then you know the voice of the shepherd. If you know the Word of God, then you can discern what you're hearing, and you can know whether this comes out of Scripture or whether this is coming out of the pit of hell. Christian, listen, if you want to know the voice of the Lord our shepherd, then you ought to be spending time each and every day studying His holy word so that you know the voice of the shepherd, and so that when He speaks, whether it's through a leader or whether it's through an email or whether it's through a song, you can tell this is the voice of the shepherd or this is not the voice of the shepherd. The more you know God's word, the easier it will be to recognize the Lord's voice and to recognize when it's not the Lord's voice. The more you know God's word, the easier it will be to discern between the godly leaders who are teaching the truth of God's word and the hirelings who are only here to make merchandise of the Lord's sheep. I guarantee you go down to the Christian bookstore, or you go online to CBD or wherever you shop, it's a hodgepodge. There's people that I would say, yeah, that's the voice of the Lord coming through that person right there. And there's a bunch that I would say, they're making merchandise of you. They're trying to sell you books and CDs and videos and all kinds of stuff, but it's not the Lord's voice. Be careful. Know God's word, and you will know the voice of the Lord. Christian, listen, the Lord is our shepherd. And He wants to guide us on paths of righteousness. That's what the Good Shepherd does. He leads us on paths of righteousness. Therefore, I encourage you, don't just believe that someone is a good leader because they're accepted in the church. Don't just buy into somebody's leadership because, you know, the majority of Christians love this person. I mean, it's very possible for Christians to be deceived. Take every teacher, take every musician, take every lyric, take every devotional, take every book and compare it to the Word of God. Test it and see for yourself if it's the voice of the shepherd or not. Listen, the voice of the shepherd, He'll always lead us on paths of righteousness. Therefore, I encourage you, study His Word so that you can follow in the footsteps of Jehovah Rohi. And as you walk with Him according to the truth of His word, you'll soon find yourselves resting in His green pastures and receiving the refreshment of the still waters. He'll renew your soul, and He'll guide you into His perfect will because He is the Good Shepherd. Let's pray.